Welcome to day 43 of my Everyday Bible with Rita Langland. Today we are reading from the New American Standard Bible, and today's reading will take us from Exodus 39 through the end of Exodus chapter 40, beginning at Exodus 39 and verse 1. Moreover, from the blue and purple and scarlet material, they made finely woven garments for ministering in the holy place, as well as the holy garments which were for Aaron, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. He made the ephod of gold and of blue and purple and scarlet material and fine twisted linen. Then they hammered out gold sheets and cut them into threads to be woven in with the blue and the purple and the scarlet material and the fine linen, the work of a skillful workman. They made attaching shoulder pieces for the ephod. It was attached at its two upper ends. The skillfully woven band which was on it was like its workmanship, of the same material, of gold and of blue and purple and scarlet material and fine twisted linen, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. They made the onyx stones set in gold filigree settings. They were engraved like the engravings of a signet, according to the names of the sons of Israel. And he placed them on the shoulder pieces of the ephod as memorial stones for the sons of Israel, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. He made the breastpiece, the work of a skillful workman, like the workmanship of the ephod, of gold and of blue and purple and scarlet material and fine twisted linen. It was square. They made the breastpiece folded double, a span long and a span wide when folded double, and they mounted four rows of stones on it. The first row was a row of ruby, topaz, and emerald. The second row, a turquoise, a sapphire, and a diamond. And the third row, a jacinth, an agate, and an amethyst. And the fourth row, a beryl, an onyx, and a jasper. They were set in gold filigree settings when they were mounted. The stones were corresponding to the names of the sons of Israel. They were 12, corresponding to their names, engraved with the engravings of a signet, each with its name for the 12 tribes. They made on the breastpiece chains like cords of twisted cordage work in pure gold. They made the two filigree settings and two gold rings and put the two rings on the two ends of the breastpiece. Then they put the two gold cords and the two rings at the ends of the breastpiece. They put the two other ends of the two cords on the two filigree settings and put them on the shoulder pieces of the ephod at the front of it. They made two gold rings and placed them on the two ends of the breastpiece on its inner edge, which was next to the ephod. Furthermore, they made two gold rings and placed them on the bottom of the two shoulder pieces of the ephod, on the front of it, close to the place where it joined, above the woven band of the ephod. They bound the breastpiece by its rings to the rings of the ephod with a blue cord, so that it would be on the woven band of the ephod, and that the breastpiece would not come loose from the ephod, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. Then he made the robe of the ephod of woven work, all of blue, and the opening of the robe was at the top in the center, as the opening of a coat of mail, with a binding all around its opening so that it would not be torn. They made pomegranates of blue and purple and scarlet material and twisted linen on the hem of the robe. They also made bells of pure gold and put the bells between the pomegranates all around on the hem of the robe, alternating a bell and a pomegranate all around on the hem of the robe for the service, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. They made the tunics of finely woven linen for Aaron and his sons, and the turban of fine linen, and the decorated caps of fine linen, and the linen breeches of fine twisted linen, and the sash of fine twisted linen, and blue and purple and scarlet material, the work of a weaver, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. They made the plate of the holy crown of pure gold and inscribed it like the engravings of a signet, "Holy to the Lord." They fastened a blue cord to it to fasten it on the turban above, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. Thus all the work of the tabernacle of the tent of meeting was completed, and the sons of Israel did according to all that the Lord had commanded Moses. So they did. They brought the tabernacle to Moses, the tent and all its furnishings, its clasps, its boards, its bars, and its pillars and its sockets, and the covering of ram skins dyed red, and the covering of porpoise skins, and the screening veil, the ark of the testimony and its poles, and the mercy seat, the table, all its utensils, and the bread of the presence, the pure gold lampstand with its arrangement of lamps and all its utensils, and the oil for the light, and the gold altar, and the anointing oil, and the fragrant incense, and the veil for the doorway of the tent, the bronze altar and its bronze grating, its poles and all its utensils, the laver and its stand, the hangings for the court, its pillars, its sockets, and the screen for the gate of the court, its cords and its pegs, and all the equipment for the service of the tabernacle, for the tent of meeting, the woven garments for ministering in the holy place, and the holy garments for Aaron the priest, and the garments of his sons to minister as priests. So the sons of Israel did all the work according to all that the Lord had commanded Moses. And Moses examined all the work, and behold, they had done it, just as the Lord had commanded. This they had done. So Moses blessed them. Chapter 40. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "On the first day of the first month, you shall set up the tabernacle of the tent of meeting. You shall place the ark of the testimony there, and you shall screen the ark with the veil. You shall bring in the table and arrange what belongs on it, and you shall bring in the lampstand and mount its lamps. Moreover, you shall set the golden altar of incense before the ark of the testimony and set up the veil for the doorway to the tabernacle. You shall set the altar of burnt offering in front of the doorway of the tabernacle of the tent of meeting. You shall set the laver between the tent of meeting and the altar and put water in it. You shall set up the court all around and hang up the veil for the gateway of the court. Then you shall take the anointing oil and anoint the tabernacle and all that is in it, and shall consecrate it and all its furnishings, and it shall be holy. You shall anoint the altar of burnt offering and all its utensils, and consecrate the altar, and the altar shall be most holy. You shall anoint the laver and its stand and consecrate it. Then you shall bring Aaron and his sons to the doorway of the tent of meeting and wash them with water. You shall put the holy garments on Aaron and anoint him and consecrate him that he may minister as a priest to me. You shall bring his sons and put tunics on them. You shall anoint them even as you have anointed their father, that they may minister as priests to me. And their anointing will qualify them for a perpetual priesthood throughout their generations." Thus Moses did, according to all that the Lord had commanded him. So he did. Now in the first month of the second year, on the first day of the month, the tabernacle was erected. Moses erected the tabernacle and laid its sockets and set up its boards and inserted its bars and erected its pillars. He spread the tent over the tabernacle and put the covering of the tent on top of it, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. Then he took the testimony and put it into the ark and attached the poles to the ark and put the mercy seat on top of the ark. He brought the ark into the tabernacle and set up a veil for the screen and screened off the ark of the testimony, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. Then he put the table in the tent of meeting on the north side of the tabernacle, outside the veil. He set the arrangement of bread in order on it before the Lord, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. Then he placed the lampstand in the tent of meeting, opposite the table, on the south side of the tabernacle. He lighted the lamps before the Lord, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. Then he placed the gold altar in the tent of meeting in front of the veil, and he burned fragrant incense on it, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. Then he set up the veil for the doorway of the tabernacle. He set the altar of burnt offering before the doorway of the tabernacle of the tent of meeting, and offered on it the burnt offering and the meal offering, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. He placed the laver between the tent of meeting and the altar, and put water in it for washing. From it, Moses and Aaron and his sons washed their hands and their feet. When they entered the tent of meeting, and when they approached the altar, they washed, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. He erected the court all around the tabernacle and the altar, and hung up the veil for the gateway of the court. Thus Moses finished the work. Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Moses was not able to enter the tent of meeting because the cloud had settled on it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Throughout all their journeys, whenever the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the sons of Israel would set out. But if the cloud was not taken up, then they did not set out until the day when it was taken up. For throughout all their journeys, the cloud of the Lord was on the tabernacle by day, and there was a fire in it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel. This is the end of today's scripture reading. Before we move on to today's devotional, I wanted to let you know about some other free resources available to you from Hidden with Christ Ministries. We have a weekly teaching called Word for Wednesday, available on video through YouTube, or as an audio podcast available on all the major podcasting platforms. Just type in Word for Wednesday, Rita Langland, on YouTube or on your favorite podcast channel, or you can visit our website at hiddenwithchrist.org to find a library of hundreds of Bible teachings by yours truly, Rita Langland. And now let's continue with today's devotional. In today's scripture reading, we find a fascinating look at the high priest's garments and the garments of Aaron's sons being prepared and readied for their service in the tabernacle. And then, of course, the actual day coming when the tabernacle is completed and set up and the presence of God, the glory of the Lord comes and fills the tabernacle. What a beautiful picture this is. And yet it is a picture, an Old Testament picture, that speaks of a New Testament truth. As New Covenant people, the scripture tells us that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, that we are to be filled with the presence of God. The glory of the Lord is to fill us. We are to be that living tabernacle that goes from place to place, bringing the presence of God with us. And with that, the anointing of God, which is supernatural power from God to do what God has called us to do. And I want to talk about that issue of God's anointing upon your life today, because we find this amazing statement made in Exodus chapter 40 when it's speaking about Aaron and his priests being brought to the doorway of the tent of meeting. They received the garments that they were to wear to serve as priests before the Lord. They are consecrated that they may minister before the Lord as priests. And then it says, and I'm going to read this scripture to you from Exodus 40, verse 15, "And you shall anoint them," referring to Aaron's sons, "even as you have anointed their father, that they may minister as priests to me." And their anointing will qualify them for a perpetual priesthood throughout their generations. Now, if you remember a few days back, I mentioned to you that the office of the high priest is symbolic of Jesus' office or position as the ultimate high priest, as it's mentioned in the book of Hebrews, that we have a high priest who's not unfamiliar with the afflictions that we go through, has compassion. So Jesus as our high priest. And Aaron is symbolic of Jesus's position as high priest. And then his sons serving in the priesthood are symbolic of the believers who follow Jesus, those who are his sons and daughters. And the scripture says that we are to be priests unto the Lord. We're to be a holy priesthood unto God. And even in Revelations, it speaks of this as referring to the believers of the New Testament, not just the Levitical priests of the Old Testament, but instead of today, of this generation, of generations past and generations forward from now, who will serve the Lord with all their hearts and be a royal priesthood unto the Lord. So this picture of Aaron's sons being anointed for service to the Lord in the tabernacle, that's what I want to talk about, because there's this amazing scripture here that says, you shall anoint them, even as you've anointed their father, that they may minister as priests to me. This is God speaking, that the sons of Aaron were going to minister as priests to the Lord. You and all who follow Jesus, we are to minister as priests to the Lord. We are to bring him worship. We are to bring him our offerings. We are to bring him our all. And it goes on to say, referring to Aaron's sons being anointed for this job, this task of serving in the tabernacle, it says, and their anointing will qualify them. Their anointing will qualify them for a perpetual priesthood throughout their generations. Their anointing will qualify them. I've heard many people say, I'm unqualified to serve the Lord. I'm unqualified to be in the ministry. I'm unqualified. I disqualified myself through things that I've done in my life. And yet, this scripture right here, referring to the priests who would serve the Lord, says their anointing, the anointing they receive from God through the hand of Moses, will qualify them. Not what they did would qualify them, not how good they were would qualify them, not some action that they performed would qualify them, not having lived a perfectly holy life would qualify them. No, the anointing they receive from the Lord through the hands of Moses, through this oil that would be placed upon them, the anointing would qualify them. What a beautiful picture. Every born-again Christian has an anointing from God. 1 John 2:20 tells us, but you have an anointing from the Holy One. And that was written to New Testament believers. You have an anointing from the Holy One. 1 John 2:20. Every Christian who serves and loves God, is born again, has an anointing from God. And what is that anointing? Well, the anointing is a supernatural power from God, not from yourself, but from God, to do exactly what God has called you to do in life. The word anointing actually means to be rubbed over with oil. So when Moses was anointing Aaron and his sons to function as priests unto the Lord in the tabernacle, he rubbed them with oil. Oil was poured upon them, anointing oil, and it was rubbed on their bodies, and it was symbolic of the Holy Spirit. So you have an anointing from God. If you are a born-again Christian, you have a calling from God. You have a divine mandate from the Lord to be his priest unto the Lord and to serve him in some capacity in the earth. Whether your calling in life is to be a teacher or a physician or a business person or a minister or a missionary or whatever it is that God has called you to do in your lifetime, you have an anointing from the Holy One. You can be God's servant anywhere, in any place, in any marketplace. You can serve as God's person, God's priest, in any location and in any setting. And that is what is very critical for each one of us to recognize. And that way you can understand that it's the anointing from God that qualifies you, as it did with Aaron's sons. There is nothing said about Aaron's sons that they were great guys, that they were lived perfect lives, that they had served the Lord all their days. You don't even see what we saw in with Joshua, who was Moses' servant. And it was said of him that he wouldn't leave the tabernacle. He wouldn't. We don't even see that same quality ever spoken of about Aaron's sons. And yet God anointed them, and God had Moses pray for them, pour the oil on them, and set them apart for service. And it said that their anointing from God would qualify them for the service. And it's the same with us. It's not our wisdom, it's not our genius, it's not our cleverness, it's not some great ability that we have. None of those things qualifies us to serve God, even if you are clever and intelligent and gifted. That's not what will qualify you to serve the Lord. It will be an anointing from God. There have been people less clever, less intelligent, less gifted that have been highly anointed and used by the Lord. And I can give you some very specific examples. Moses, for example, had a speech impediment, it said. He talked about himself that he was slow of tongue, and it's believed that he either stuttered or there was something like that, and so therefore he was afraid to speak publicly. But the anointing of the Holy Spirit qualified him for the job. It wasn't Moses, it was the anointing of God on his life to be a great leader despite his own failings or shortfall or lack of ability in the natural. But the anointing of God, the choosing of God, God pouring out his spirit upon Moses is what qualified him for the position that God had for him. And it's the same for you. There are other very well-known ministers today who have talked about having had a speech impediment or a problem speaking, and in the eyes of the world that would have discredited them, disqualified them as being public speakers. But the anointing of the Holy Spirit qualified them. The anointing of the Spirit empowered them. The supernatural power of God caused them to be able to be successful because of the anointing, not because of themselves. I also think of two evangelists from Britain, one whose name was Gypsy Smith and the other whose name was Smith Wigglesworth. These two men were from another century than ours, but they were very uneducated, barely literate. They could barely read. Smith Wigglesworth, when he got saved, he couldn't read, and his wife had to teach him how to read so that he could read the Bible. But both of these men, Gypsy Smith and Smith Wigglesworth, became so anointed by the Holy Spirit that they were extraordinarily successful ministers of the gospel, even though if the world had assessed them, if the world had evaluated them, both of them would have been rejected from the ministry today because of lack of education, lack of theological training. They would have said, these people can't be ministers. They can't preach the gospel. This guy can barely read, and this other one's never even been to school. So this issue of a person's lack of ability or lack of education or lack of training, none of those things are the keys. The key is the anointing of the Holy Spirit will qualify a person to serve God. So don't ever allow yourself or say about yourself that you're not qualified to serve God. Every person who's born again, filled with the Spirit of God, is qualified to serve Him and called to serve Him and called to minister for Him in some arena that God has chosen for you specifically. And you have a mandate to do so because you carry the presence of God with you. We saw in that chapter 40 that we read that the Spirit of God, the glory of the Lord, descended on the tabernacle, filled it, so that Moses couldn't even go inside because it was so filled with the glory of God. That is the picture of your life, of you, that tabernacle, because you are to be that tabernacle of the Holy Spirit, the place where the glory dwells, and you take it everywhere you go, and it is that which qualifies you to serve the Lord. God has a God-given mission for your life, very specific. In fact, I think about Samuel, the first king of Israel, and it was said about about Saul, and Samuel was one of the first, was the prophet at the time of King Saul. And that prophet Samuel said to Saul in 1 Samuel 15, "The Lord anointed you king over Israel, and the Lord sent you on a mission." That is in 1 Samuel 15, verse 18 in the New American Standard Bible. The Lord anointed you king, so he gave him a specific purpose. He called him for a specific purpose, a specific time and season in Israel's history, and he anointed Saul to be the first king. And it says the Lord sent you on a mission. He gave him a God-given mission, and he gave him the empowerment to accomplish his God-given mission. He was anointed by the prophet Samuel. The flask of oil was poured out. The scriptures say that when that happened and he was anointed by Samuel, the prophet, from the Lord, that he was changed into another man. So we saw a transformational occurrence happen in the life of Saul, the first king of Israel. So he was anointed and he was empowered to accomplish his God-given mission of being the king over Israel and to do certain tasks for the Lord, remove the enemies from the land, etc. And this scripture says the Lord anointed you king over Israel and the Lord sent you on a mission. There is an anointing that will empower you and enable you and qualify you for your particular mission in life that God has for you. You have to pursue that. You have to believe that. That's what the Word of God tells us. You have to take it by faith that God has an anointing for your life, as 1 John 2:20 told us. You have an anointing from the Holy One. And that is what I want to bring to your attention today from this passage in the Old Testament. It's the anointing that qualifies any person. It's not their intelligence. It's not their gifts. It's not their cleverness. It's not their education level. It's not the amount of money they have. None of those things qualify a person for service to God. Only the anointing of the Holy Spirit will qualify you for service. And I thank God for that, because that means that we can have nothing and be nothing and yet be anointed by God to serve Him. You can have no money and no education and yet receive an anointing from the Lord to serve the Lord wherever you are, in whatever situation you're in whatever culture you live in whatever city you live in whatever family you come from. None of those things matter if you have the anointing of the Holy Spirit. But with that, you have to understand that you can't take credit for anything God does through your life. That is so vital for us to recognize that it's God's gift and we can't take credit for it. So when somebody receives an anointing from the Lord and they exploit that anointing for their own personal gain or to draw attention to themselves or to show off the spiritual gifts, that type of disrespect for the Lord and disrespect for his anointing can result in being decommissioned, really. Such a disobedience to the Holy Spirit can result in a person losing the anointing, as occurred with King Saul. His disobedience cost him his commission from God, even though he had been anointed by God for a specific mission from the Lord. So be careful that you don't fall into that same category. The anointing is not for our own gratification, edification, or for our own fleshly indulgence. such as to draw people to ourselves. That's not the purpose. We have to respect the anointing of God, honor it, thank God for it, and realize it isn't ours, it's God's. And if He chooses you and works through you and speaks through you, and when you pray, people are healed, and when you speak, people are saved, and all of those things happen, which is the will of God, make sure the honor and the glory go to Him, and stay with the Lord and not with yourself. Because it's the anointing, not yourself, that qualifies you for service. Remember also that in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, we are told we have this treasure, referring to the presence of God, the glory of God, the power of God. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. We're just earthen vessels. We're just made out of earth, dirt, clay. And the reason the Lord put the glory of God inside some person who's humble and nothing in their own strength, the reason is told in this verse. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. So that it's clear to everybody that it's from the Lord, it's not from ourselves. That it's God who's moving, that it's God who's healing, that it's God who's speaking, and not ourselves. We have the treasure, the presence of God, the power of God, the anointing of God, in just a human vessel, an earthen vessel. And it's God did it that way so that it was clear to everyone that the excellence of the power of God might be given, the glory for that may be given to God and not to ourselves. That's God's will for our lives. Even Paul said that about himself. He said, "My message and my preaching were not with persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." He's saying it wasn't me because I'm such a great preacher, but it's the Spirit of God and the power of God that did the work. And that's the attitude you have to keep when the Spirit of God and the anointing of God moves through your life. But those of you who struggle with feeling even having any qualifications to speak anything for the Lord or pray for someone, please take this to heart, this word from Exodus 40, that it was the anointing of the Lord that qualified Aaron's sons. It wasn't them. It wasn't their great holiness level. It was God Himself. It was the anointing of the Spirit that qualified them for the work. It's the Spirit of God that's been given to you that qualifies you for the work, imperfect as you are. And you are imperfect. All of us are. Uneducated in all the wisdom of the Scriptures that you may be. There's no one who knows everything in the Scripture or understands all that's in the Scripture except for God and the Holy Spirit Himself. So don't let the devil disqualify you in your own mind by giving you these excuses, but instead rely on the truth of what the Word says. Their anointing will qualify them for a perpetual priesthood. That's what qualified Aaron's sons, and that's what qualifies each of us. The anointing, the supernatural power of God to give us power to do what God has called us to do in our lives. You have been rubbed over with the oil of the Holy Spirit if you are a born-again Christian and have accepted the power of the Spirit into your life. And whatever that calling you have, teacher, doctor, business person, or minister, remember the Scripture says you have an anointing from the Holy One. Walk in it today. Let the Lord work through you. And don't disqualify yourself by not believing the word of the Lord, that it's the anointing itself that qualifies you, not your goodness or your wisdom. God bless you. Let the Lord use you this week. If you have enjoyed My Everyday Bible, please share it with others. It's our heart to get the word of God out around the world. If you'd like to help us continue this work, you can make a donation through this app or on our website at myeverydaybible.com. You can also mail a check to Hidden with Christ Ministries,
P.O. Box 745, Forest, Virginia, 24551. And don't forget to check out our free library of Bible teachings at hiddenwithchrist.org. We believe you will be blessed because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God.